Listen to the voices of our world.
Whether you're in a business or a school, a hospital, we're breathing in a cocktail of chemicals.
630,000 infants are born each year with unsafe mercury levels.
Why are these kids so sick?
Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. I'm Eileen Bott. I think the only Earth Day that ever got our attention was the very first one in 1970. It remains in our heads some Woodstockian, well-meaning, nostalgic event. Earth Days have come and gone since, with many of us a wee bit drowsy on some new allergy pill, placidly unaware of the real potential harm we're exposed to daily from toxic chemicals present in our clothes, furnishings in our homes and office, in cleaning products, and yes, our food, water, and air. Now, today's show is not intended to scare you, just to give you information that will help you make safer choices and may even stir you to insist that corporations and our government provide safer alternatives as well. We'll be talking with founder and director of the Deirdre Imus Environmental Center for Pediatric Oncology, Deirdre Imus, and the senior Washington representative of the Sierra Club, Nat Mund. You know, I'm considering finally tossing away my nightlight. Oh, it's not because I'm suddenly less neurotic, but because I'm reasonably sure that pretty soon I'll be able to glow in the dark. In the course of my morning drive to work, I pass through areas so heavy in electrical substations and power lines, I'm driving under a virtual awning of electricity. At various points in my life, I've been every inch X-rayed, CAT scanned, or MRI'd. And when power companies and medical professionals aren't irradiating me, I'm busy doing it to myself. You know, some weeks my schedule is so hectic that just about every meal comes out of the microwave. Those are usually the same weeks my cell phone is glued to my ear. What's that doing to my frontal lobe? I've put dyes and sprays and mousse in my hair. I've used depilatories, self-tanners and diuretics, all kinds of makeup, nail polish, and then nail polish remover. I know that mercury is a neurotoxin, but I don't know how much of it I've taken in due to tooth fillings and vaccines. I have no idea how many food dyes and preservatives I've consumed. And I dare you to pick up any item in your kitchen cupboard and read the list of ingredients. You'll find that after the first three items, the stuff that sounds like food stops, and the list of chemicals begins. Deirdre Imus got wise to all this a lot earlier than most of us. As a young athlete, Deirdre had to run track with the boys because there were no girls' teams. She wanted to be the best and the fastest, and noticed early on, snacks with refined sugars and bleached flour didn't do anything for her. Years later, married to radio legend Don Imus and participating in his radiothons for kids with cancer, questions about how those children became sick internally nagged at both Don and Deirdre. But a problem can't nag at you once you begin to do something about it. So the Imus Ranch for Kids with Cancer was born, and several times a year the family and ranch staff host groups of children battling cancer, restoring their confidence through challenging work in a toxin-free atmosphere. Deirdre also founded the Deirdre Imus Environmental Center for Pediatric Oncology at the Hackensack University Medical Center. The center promotes a greening the cleaning line of environmentally safe cleaning products, and it was there that Kathy Golden got to talk with Deirdre Imus.
Food taught me a lot, because from food, you start discovering everything else. Like, we're all consumers, so we start looking into all products, personal care products, and I started seeing all the chemicals in the list of carcinogens and neurotoxins and hormone disruptors that are actually allowed in all of our personal care products and baby products. Same with building materials. How food is grown, the organic versus the non-organic. To me, this is just all common sense when you have this knowledge, and then I wanted to apply it to how we should be addressing putting our children first to not expose them unnecessarily to all of these toxins that are making them potentially sick. And here at the Environmental Center, we educate, make people aware, and then in a positive way, get people to change by educating them, such as the Greening the Cleaning product line we started. We're not in the business of trying to put chemical companies out of business. Instead, we want to work with them and educate them to phase out the toxic chemicals, educate them how they can come up with environmentally friendly, non-toxic alternatives, just like we've done here at the center, and create a demand, just like the organic food industry has created a demand for people, and that's all through education. That's the way we make change, and change stays. It's not a fad. It's not a trend. You know, frequently I'll tell people, you know, like how we've gotten rid of all the toxic cleaning agents in a hospital. Everyone says to me, wow, why would hospitals use that to begin with? Well, they've always used toxic cleaning agents until we went and implemented in the spring of 2000 at Hackensack here. So it's common sense too. Our mission here at the Environmental Center is to identify and control and ultimately prevent environmental factors that may cause adult and especially pediatric cancers and other illnesses. Of course, the whole umbrella of protecting our children, putting our children first, truly though. And I feel we've been a good example so far because we're physically doing by implementing greening the cleaning, educating and making people aware, and physically every day making a change by eliminating those toxins that are potentially dangerous to our children.
Deirdre, explain to our listeners what sick building syndrome means. What is that about?
Well, sick building syndrome has been around for years, and sustainability and building green comes out of knowing about indoor sick building syndrome. And it's literally all of the air quality inside from toxic cleaning agents that are used, pesticides that are being sprayed indoors, and also outgassing or off-gassing from materials such as carpeting, flooring, furniture materials, fabrics that have formaldehyde, for example, is an easy one. Formaldehyde is frequently used on all wood, and it's a preservative. So most desks and tables and chairs, etc., cabinetry, that outgasses for years. Same with carpets. They have carcinogens and neurotoxins such as toluene and xylene and petroleum distillates that off-gas constantly that we breathe. So we're breathing in an indoor air environment, whether you're in a business or a school, a hospital, really a cocktail of chemicals. The studies aren't definitive yet, but no one really knows how that's affecting all of us. All we know is we get symptoms such as fatigue, breathing problems. Some people get rashes. The EPA did a 5-year study, for example, of cleaning products that were dispersed indoors, and they found that many of them became up to 200 times more toxic indoors than outdoors, and it was because of their inability to be dispersed. That gives you an example of the potential and how important it is to create a healthy environment indoors. I mean, these days, a lot of it, starting with the cleaning products, is easy. Just get rid of those and implement non-toxic ones. Pesticides, you practice integrative pest management with the least level of toxicity. You don't need to be spraying pesticides, which most of them are listed carcinogens, which have been linked to the increase in children's leukemia and brain tumors.
The EPA right now is scheduled to do a study. They want to. It's been put on hold. It's called CHEERS. The Children's Environmental Exposure Research Study. What they're proposing to do is, and they've gone to a county in Florida where the population is relatively poor. 51% of the births are non-white. They're going to offer these parents of 60 kids $970 a camcorder, t-shirts, bibs, and they want to study their kids' exposure to pesticides from infancy to 3 years of age. Now, I don't know if that's going to get shot down, but at the moment, it's just on hold. And the money was provided by the American Chemical Consortium.
No, that's a shame. In fact, I've read about that study. There's several doctors and epidemiologists in the EPA that have spoken out against it. And that's a negative way to do something. Dr. Frederica Pereira over at Columbia University, she's an epidemiologist. We have studies that not just suggest, but definitely link pesticides and other environmental factors, smog and pollution in urban areas that are linked to chromosomal damage, which therefore causes cancer. And even Dr. Pereira, as recently as a month or two ago, a study released that she did with pregnant mothers in the South Bronx, where she had them carry air packs and they monitored them, the mothers and the fetus, the babies, while they were pregnant. And they found severe fetal damage, chromosomal damage, which they described as chromosomal damage that causes cancer in their children. And she's doing ongoing studies. There's many studies done with pesticides already. There's farm studies done where farmers that use pesticides and their families have statistically a higher rate of brain cancers and leukemias and types of specific cancers that have been linked to high levels of pesticides. So a study like that really is a shame. If they want to continue doing more pesticide studies, which we do need, they don't have to do it at the expense of exposing more children, and it's misleading too. Mm. Education is key because of all these families that you're talking about that are going to be exposed, I hope this doesn't happen, if that goes through, it's only because they're not educated. They right. don't have the information.
Exactly.
Otherwise, the mother would say, I'm not going to expose my kid unnecessarily to these pesticides.
When business is behind some of this and money is behind it, is it a harder sell to teach people to not use chemicals in other areas of their lives?
I found if you give people too much information, like I've given lectures, they're like, oh my God, I've got to change everything in my world. And I find a couple of things happen. Immediately, people go into paralysis psychologically.
Yeah.
They throw their hands up. Oh, this is too overwhelming. And frankly, then it becomes stressful. So what I tell people is you start with one thing. And that's what I do every day. I try to make another change, one more thing. So for example, a lot of people like to start with food. I've said to mothers often, what is one food every day your child has to eat? For example, apples. Well, apples, they're actually at the top of the list of the most heavily sprayed with pesticides and carcinogens and neurotoxins. Make that apple an organic apple. Make that one change. And if your kid eats an apple every single day and you make that one change, how much healthier are you making your child? You're preventing him from being exposed to all those toxins on a daily basis that he normally would have been. Also, you're supporting organic farming, a healthy alternative. And it's an easy switch. I know with our Greening the Cleaning product line, we've implemented in over 20 hospitals, Newark Airport, over almost a dozen schools now.
Red Bank, New Jersey.
Red Bank, New Jersey, many schools in Manhattan, public and private, the Newark school systems we're working with. To date, we have saved everybody money, 3% to 75%. It's cost effective. They work as well as the leading brands, all the famous toxic leading brands out there. The efficacy is there. And the switch is easy. There's nothing you have to change in your life. You're just, instead of buying this product, you're buying this product. That's how simple it is. For example, Hackensack, the first hospital we did that launched the whole program, they were using about 22 products. We reduced that product use to 8 core products. Right there is a huge cost savings, 15% cost savings yearly. And the non-toxic products, the Greening and Cleaning products, worked as well. And in fact, some of them, they said, worked better. Then hospitals such as this then contributed to their immediate community environment because they're not on the waste end pouring that all into our water systems. In fact, we've to date, with our Greening the Cleaning program, 98,800 pounds of toxins have been eliminated from the environment. So again, this is just common sense.
You would think.
But yeah.
We're still spewing hormones and medicines, and you mentioned mercury before. The latest rules that we have allow actually more mercury into the system than ever before. Now, there's still supposedly almost 5% of all the doses left out there for childhood vaccines that still have thimerosal in it. We're not telling people not to vaccinate their children, but you had to think about this.
No, and you brought up a good point, Kathy. Let's make that distinction, especially talking about vaccinations and the thimerosal, which is the mercury as used as a preservative in vaccines.
Right.
I am not anti-vaccine. And even these parents that speak out about the thimerosal issue are not anti-vaccine. What I'm for, like everything else we're doing with the environment and protecting our children, is making sure those vaccinations are safe.
What about you? Have you made any changes for the sake of your health or your family's? Email us. Go to www.marynoll.org/voices and just click on Contact Us. Or call us at 1-877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 1-877-MARYKNOLL.